It's amazing how many things in life we don't understand, isn't it? Some of us don't understand car engines. Some of us don't always understand computers. Some of us don't understand one another. Husbands often don't understand their wives. Wives understand their husbands, but men don't think so. It's amazing what we don't understand. But you know what is just as amazing in a negative way is we think we know stuff. Goes all the way back to the garden, that problem. Adam and Eve were in the garden. Everything was so wonderful. They were in a relationship with God. They didn't wear clothing, and there was no shame. There was no embarrassment. You know? And then what God had said no to doing, to eating of a particular tree, they looked at it, and they got to thinking about it, and they decided that it looked good to eat. Instead of listening to God about it, they went to their own thinking, and they thought, see, they understood. By all appearances, this was going to be good. And they ate of the forbidden fruit, and sin and death came into the world. And the thinking of human beings ever since that fall has been off. Out of whack. Just plain nuts. Today's issues are not new, because man's weird thinking, and by man, I don't mean just male, okay? Women contribute to the human race, and they have as well the thought process. And we look at stuff, and we place value, our own sense of value. We think, and therefore we decide. And we claim things, not only in the sense of civil law, but we claim things in the sense of all superior encompassing law, that life is a right. When God tells us it's a gift. And from that premise on, thinking that we understand life, when life begins, how life begins, and all the technology that has science that can measure that and study it and look at it, examine it, test it, we think, and therefore we have all these marvelous conclusions that go directly against God's word. Regarding the people in the wheelchair, we go, I would rather be dead than live like that. Why? Because our thinking says that's not living. To the person bound in the bed, bound, I don't mean tied, okay, but confined to the bed by physical limitation, our human thinking says, I would not be that. That's as good as dead. And to the one in the womb that's going to inconvenience people and add responsibility and cost and all of that, human thinking has decided that is not worth it. And therefore, we have intentionally ended life. I find it a kind of a paradox, if you will, a contradiction. We have more protection for an inmate in a prison who has been given the death sentence than we do for the child in the womb. Does that make sense to you? And the only way it doesn't make sense is if you're going to the Word. Because in our society, they're thinking that works. But the only way it doesn't make sense is when we turn to the Word. In today's second reading, it gives us pause to take a look about life. Not life as we think we understand it, life as we know it, or life as we define it, or life as we experience it, but as life in the sense of God's gift. Its very presence, its very existence, is not created in the lab. It is a gift from God. You heard the second reading for this morning, you know, and it talks about how our thinking is when it says, all things are lawful for me, but not all things are helpful. Well, that one we've got, you know. I may be free to do something, but at the same time, it may not be good for me to be doing that. But here's what God says about life. He talks about our bodies, this gift of life. And he says it's not meant for sexual immorality, but for the Lord. Now, what happens often in the text when we start looking at this is we focus on one sin. And we forget the principle that God's word is introducing. If you take out the words sexual immorality, and I don't mean making it okay to do that, but if you fill in the blank with any sinful activity, the line stands true. The body is for the Lord. Now, is that our human thinking today? You see, we have my rights, my body, my choice, my decision. I can do what I want. I can live the way I want. And under our cultural laws, our legal system, some of that works. It's my body. If I want to shave my head, which means I don't have much left to do, it's an easy task. But, you know, if I want to go, you know, completely bald and shaved head, I've got the freedom to do that. But then we add all the other things that we do. From the idea of the tattoos to the body piercings to the, you know, the even self-torture and cutting. We have this thinking that I have a right. It's my choice. I think it. I want it. I can do it. But that's not where we begin in the scriptures, is it? My very presence and yours is an act of God. Life is from God. In the beginning, when God created Adam and Eve, yes, he used material, but he used material he created. And then they were different. They were going to be absolutely different than all other life forms that were created. Because unlike the camel and the bull and the lamb and the birds and all of that, God breathed into Adam and God breathed into Eve and he gave them life. You don't have that with anything else. Life is from God. And he created us with the ability to procreate, to have children. But sin has hindered that. And it's impaired our thinking about that. and it's harmed one another because of it. The body is for the Lord. What I do to my physical presence has the opportunity to honor God. How I conduct myself in this physical existence has the opportunity to honor God, to serve Him. Because that's what faith gives us the power to do. Faith changes our thinking and enters our heart and makes us different. It gives us a new perspective because it gives us a new starting point that I belong to God. And how do I know that? Because in the text it says, He has purchased me. He has redeemed me. He has bought me back from that lost spiritual condition of eternal death into new life. He has done this through Jesus Christ. His life paid for me. His life paid for you. And it changes everything. A lady was confined to bed for many years. I was her pastor. She asked me once, "Why am I still here?" She couldn't get up. She couldn't serve. She couldn't work. She couldn't plant. She couldn't garden. She couldn't sew. You know, she barely had strength to hold a book, and she had been this way for a while. And she wanted to know what use she was. My answer was, "I don't know what God has in mind for you, but I can tell you how you helped me." And her eyes went up. She's the one confined to bed, and she had no idea how she could help me. And I simply told her, "You remind me and help me learn how to care unconditionally. There's nothing that you can do for me. You don't have the strength to scratch my back. You don't have the energy to get up and get me a coffee. You can't wait on me. You can't serve as an officer of the church. You can't attend meetings," you know, and all the things that people do in the church, you know, there wasn't one of those that she could do. But by being there, I got to serve her. Do you know, without people around us whom we can serve, we become more self-absorbed and selfish? God has placed life around us to help us keep that value of life in our heart, to treasure this gift. I don't know other reasons why one and lives longer than the other. I just know how she was a gift to me. How unconditionally I got to serve her, to pray with her, to laugh with her about memories. She had a sharp mind. And it was a wonderful visit. I told her I got more out of it than she did. She said, "No, just different." She was older and wiser than I am. But that's life. But in the common definition of today, and I saw it when I was the director of the advisory board for a nursing home, people bring such individuals like that to the nursing home and they never come back to visit. They're too busy living. They're too busy absorbed in their own pace. They're too busy. They don't have time. And plus, all those places, all they think it reminds them of is the stench of death. You go there to die. Have you ever had someone say, "I'm not going to a nursing home, right? Because all you do is go there to die." I've heard that. But it's a place to live until God calls us home. to still be full of life and to rejoice in that gift. And for us to visit, that's an opportunity to remind them, to lift them up. Yes, you may be limited for whatever way and however manners, but you are a living child of God. And the swing of our thinking is that if we do not have to pay attention to the unborn and we can ignore them and remove them, the swing of the thinking is, what's going to happen to the elderly in our world when they too become an inconvenience? The one in the womb, their body belongs to God. The one that's confined to bed, their body belongs to God. How do we honor that? How do we express treasuring that? That's the challenge. I don't think it's easy. And it's not cookie cutter. But I think it is clearly an opportunity for Christians to give witness to God about the gift of life that we treasure from Him. It's as simple as that. And when we forget that, anything goes. It's as simple as that. If you know anybody that's homebound, give them a call. Ask to come over if you can. Send them a card. Reach out. Because they feel forgotten and isolated, alone, devalued. In ministry, I've heard this, you know, that, you know, I had friends in the church. I used to see them all the time, but I've been home for 4 months and I've only heard from two people. What does that say about how we value their life in Christ? You see, today is Life Sunday, and it's easy to become political about what's going to happen at the Supreme Court level and the state laws and what's going up now that the vote has been cast and all of that. It's easy. It's too easy because the subject is bigger than that. It's just about how we value a gift instead of keep thinking, I have a right. And as I look at you, and all of you are facing this way, most of you. You are a gift from God to this congregation, to the people in this community, to your neighborhood, to your family. And for those who don't talk to you, and for those who have ignored you, and for those who have shunned you, and for those where the relationship is broken, do not take that as God's definition about you. For Christ bought you with His body and blood. And He lifts you up in His ever-loving arms. And He has declared you and named you as His own. And He reveals Himself to you that you may live by faith. You see, life is living intentionally, living forever, living by faith eternally. That's what life is about in Christ. Don't let the world define life. God already has, and I have yet to find a better definition than His. That makes you a gift. Amen.